The reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. It's on page 1192 and 1194 on the Pew Bibles. I'm actually reading from the revised NIV, so it may be slightly different from the Pew Bible. Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just take a moment to pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for those Bible readings that Clive has just brought to us, and we just ask that you would speak to our hearts through them. Lord God, I pray that you would take what I've prepared to share just now, and that you would use this to help and encourage us this morning, and that you would just continue to minister to our hearts and minds, that you'd help us to be open to you. So, Lord God, speak, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are looking at these two passages from Colossians, and we're kind of working under the overall theme of wholehearted whole life, which is the theme that the church has been taking for the weekend. For those that have been down at Brunel Manor in Torquay, is that where it is? Somewhere down there, in Devon somewhere. And that's the theme they've been taking. And they've been looking at these passages, and so we thought it would be good if we also had a look at them this morning. Kind of just going to pick up on a few little bits, because we don't have time to study both passages in depth this morning. You'll be glad to hear I'm not planning to do that, because we'd be here till this afternoon. But in the New International Version there, in verse 10, it has this lovely verse, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." And that's what we're thinking about this morning, living a life. We've heard that phrase a lot in church in the last year, that we're about living the life, but it's about living the life that's worthy of the Lord and bearing fruit and growing in his knowledge. Now, in these two passages from Paul to the Colossians, so there are a few things to help us to look at this. And sticking with the analogy of growing things, there are three things that we need to grow that I've picked up on in the first passage. And in the second passage, there are three things that we need to do as we grow. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And particularly thinking Paul's prayer there, in Colossians 1 and verses 9 to 11, he prays for three specific things. Now, in the New Living Translation, which is the Bible that I prefer to work from, it gives it much more clearly. And those three things, he asks God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. And to me, these three things are like the things that the children reminded us of this morning that we need to grow. They're like the water, the soil, the fertilizer, the sunlight that we need to help us grow. The knowledge of his will, spiritual wisdom and understanding, and strength that comes from him. So let's just think about those three things one at a time for a moment. The knowledge of his will. Nice to start with something nice and easy, isn't it? What's God's will? What is the will of God? Well, you'll be pleased to know that I am not going to delve into the depth of the theology behind all the theories behind what God's will is. Sometimes I think we just overcomplicate it. And actually, it's something really quite simple. It's about saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And it's about listening and just trying to hear what he's saying, whether that be through a direct communication. There are those odd, miraculous times where people have heard an audible voice, not something that has happened to me, but there are those people who hear God's voice in that way, or have. Sometimes that's through when we're reading a Bible and there's something that jumps out to us and we just hear that God is speaking to us through a particular passage or verse. Sometimes that might be through somebody else who says something to us, and God, we just know that it's God's words coming to us and challenging us or encouraging us to take a particular path. What do you want me to do? We make that prayer every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But sometimes, you know, I think that the Lord's Prayer, it's easy to distance ourselves from it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. It's kind of like, that's everybody else, that's the world, that's not me. And we have to remember sometimes to make that personal. Your kingdom come, your will be done in me. It's not just about those big questions. You know, what shall I do with my life? What job shall I take? Where shall I live? Who shall I choose as a life partner? Have we even asked God those questions, I wonder? But it's also about that daily. How do you want me to use my time today? Who do you want me to speak to today? How do you want me to live today? So Paul's first prayer is that we would know, that we would be given the knowledge of God's will. And the first step to that is asking God for it. Lord, show me the way. So to help us face those daily choices and questions that life brings us, leads us on to the second thing that's there. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. To give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding that comes from thinking about what would Jesus do. I don't know if any of you remember that kind of big "What Would Jesus Do" campaign from probably 10 years ago now, if not longer, and people were wearing wristbands and bookmarks with WWJD on them, and then there was all sorts of parodies came after that, and "What would John do?" and "What would Jacob do?" and lots of jokes made out of that. But still a good question, as we're seeking to find that spiritual wisdom, that understanding, what would Jesus do? And we need to be asking God again, give me your wisdom. Give me your understanding. We're very fortunate that we are Christians who live after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came into the church. And the Holy Spirit is here and available for us now. And as we ask Him to fill our lives, He brings us that wisdom. He brings us that understanding that we need. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to bring to us that wisdom, that understanding. And one of the pieces of wisdom that we need to learn is that sometimes we will not understand. Sometimes we won't understand. And we just have to accept that piece of wisdom and trust in God. And that can be a hard lesson to learn, but it's an important one, I feel. And then there's the strength of His power. Paul prays that we would be strengthened with all His glorious power. And this is probably the easiest to understand. We all need power. If we want something to work at home that's an electrical gadget, you have to plug it into the electric source so that it's got power. If you want to use your mobile phone to phone your wife after church to tell her that you're on the way to get lunch, you have to remember to plug it in and charge it overnight. That's a shame that I forgot to do that, isn't it? No power. We need to have power in our lives to do what God wants us to do. To grow, we need to have power. Coming back to the seeds in the pots, it's quite hard, I think, for anything to grow. But when you think about the seed that's stuck down in the ground, it's dark and it's cold, it needs power for that shoot to be pushed forward and to push up and to push through the soil to reach the sunlight. And so that's like that for us when we need to grow, when we need to push through things sometimes. There may be a layer of something that we need to push through in our growth so that we can reach the light and get that next growth spurt. We need power because growing can be boring. Sometimes it's just such a drag. Sometimes there is something that we want to grow in and it just takes so long. Learning to play the piano. It's boring doing scales every day. But if you're going to be a good piano player, you have to do the work. You have to keep doing that to grow, which is why I don't play piano. So we need that power. We need God's power, and as Paul prays, we need that power to give us endurance, ongoing strength, strength to face the daily challenge. We need that power to give us patience and to give us joy when we achieve something, when we see that we've grown and we can rejoice in seeing that growth. Simply, we need his power to help us grow. So three things we need for growth, summed up by Paul in verse 10, as you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. You will grow as you learn to know God better and better. It's what it's about. It's about we will grow as we learn to know God. And we'll learn to know God by finding out what his will is, by having his wisdom and understanding, by having his strength. It's one of those cycles almost, that by doing those things, as we seek to know him, we will grow in our knowledge of his love for us. Three things we need to grow. Three things we need to do as we grow. We've got our growing plant. And Paul tells us we need to put to death the sinful earthly nature. We need some of this. We need some weed killer. We do in my garden. Or you need to pull up those weeds if we are going to grow. There are so many things which are around us that will seek to stop us growing, to stop us living that life which is worthy of the Lord. And in that passage from chapter 3 and verses 5 onwards, there's a whole list of them, and I'm not going to go through them. You heard the list read earlier, and you kind of know what they are. And as we grow to know God better and better, then he tells us. He points out to us what those things are. Those weeds that are growing in our lives, which are inhibiting our growth in the knowledge of his love for us. And as his strength in us increases, then we are given the power to get rid of those things, to kill off those weeds that would stifle growth in our lives. So we need to put to death the sinful earthly things. We need to put on our new nature. This is the growing. Picture that plant again. Not particularly this plant, because this one doesn't flower, but picture a plant that does flower. Maybe go back to the sunflowers that we planted at the beginning of the summer. And it's as those shoots push up through the ground, they come out white and then start to turn green as the sunlight works on them and everything's going on and as they're growing. And they clothe themselves with green and they clothe themselves with leaves. And so this is putting on this new nature. The green shoots and leaves. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. As we learn to know more and more about him, we become like him. We become like Jesus as we begin to know more of Jesus. It's like that saying, isn't it? That the more time you spend with somebody, the more like them you become. And there are those people that you meet that have been married for a long time, and you look at them, you think, don't you look alike? You've been together so long, and that happens. But as we spend more and more time with Jesus, we become more and more like him. Put on your new nature, or as Paul wrote to the Romans chapter 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed. Allow your mind to be changed, as well as God's Holy Spirit work going on in your heart. And the third thing is put on new clothes. Now, that's not putting on a new jumper that we bought in Matalan yesterday, which is what I'm wearing, but it's put on new clothes. And for me, that's like the flowers. We've got the leaves and the shoots. Then you've got the lovely sunflowers. And if you haven't got any at home, if you're going out of church that way this morning, you'll see there's a lovely bank of sunflowers by the school gate. And then you'll be reminded, hopefully. Be clothed with these beautiful flowers. Paul asks that we would be clothed with kindness and mercy and gentleness and humility and with patience. But most of all, the thing that covers all of that, that we would be clothed with love, the love of God that we're getting to know more and more about as we grow into his knowledge of him. So, three things to do. Put to death the sinful earthly nature, put on your new nature, put on new clothes. Live a life worthy of the Lord, a wholehearted life. This isn't just something that we do one day a week, this, you know, growing to know God. It can't just be done on a Sunday. It needs to be something that's done every day. It needs to be part of everything that we do. Wholehearted, whole life. With the knowledge of his will, with spiritual wisdom and understanding, with strength of his glorious power to help us as we put to death the sinful things, as we put on a new nature, as we are clothed with love, so that we can let the message about Christ in all its richness fill our lives. Which is verse 16 from that passage. That we can be let the message, the good news about Jesus, in all its richness fill our lives. That he will fragrance everything that we do. That those flowers will give off a fragrance to others that will attract him, will attract them to him. As we share that message of Jesus, as that richness fills our life, attracting people to Jesus, and then we will see that good fruit, that fruit of people coming to find him for themselves. So this morning, as we think about living wholehearted, whole lives, let's give our whole selves over to him and allow him to work in us to help us to grow. Amen.